You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking colonoscopies and puppies. Yeah, that makes sense. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I just realized I updated one of the pieces of software that we used to make this podcast, and it looks different. And now I'm scared that something's going to go wrong when we record.
Oh, no. No. I just realized that I have my hospital band on still.
Your medical bracelet?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knew? Who knew that this would be... I'll probably take it off some point during the podcast. So like I'm not hey, here's my date of birth and social security number.
Eagle-eyed viewers will notice at what point in the episode the bracelet is removed. Welcome everybody to the show. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. My name is Travis.
My name is Brandon. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, it's the podcast you didn't know was going to happen, right? Because... Mm-hmm. We are only a few short weeks away from the season premiere of Rick and Morty season 9, premiering May 24th.
Yeah,
on Adult Swim. And yeah. If you're new here, maybe you didn't know that we record a little podcast called Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast, the premiere Rick and Morty podcast.
Maybe we should. Should we change our subtitle? Should we change our subtitle to the premiere?
It's the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Is, you know, when you're doing your Googling, that's what's going to come up. But I wonder, I mean, there's got to be other people doing Rick and Morty podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, I know they were for a while. They come and go, but we stand the test of time.
We're just too damn stubborn is what's happening. We have a stubborn streak about us where we're like,
right.
You know, good, bad, or indifferent, we might only have 4 stars on Spotify, but you know what? We're still going.
We keep crawling and it keeps working.
That's right.
So, but because of that, we've already recorded a few episodes of Interdimensional RSS. If you're interested in Rick and Morty content, you can follow that on all of your normal podcast receptacles. But yeah, we're back. We have kind of a break in information. We did get a Rick and Morty clip like 5 hours before we started recording. Brandon diligently reshared that on all of our social media, but it's nice. We're going to take a break, relax, get back into our roots here on Apathetic Enthusiasm and just chat about what's been going on over the last few weeks, in the non Rick and Morty space, the rest of our lives, as we like to call it.
Exactly right. Some housekeeping items, as they say in the business, in our business is podcasting. You can follow us.
Is stale.
Over at Apathusiast on X. I don't know why I chose that. Apathetic Enthusiasm on Instagram. Here's the things. I don't have the show notes in front of me. There's like an apathetic underscore enthusiasm.
I was like, is he gonna do it? All right, let's run it down real quick.
YouTube.com/ apathetic enthusiasm.
One's easy.
I'm at Barnyard Cruise. He's at Juggle Mino. Facebook.com/ apathetic enthusiasm. apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. You can hit us up there.
Instagram's a good one. apathetic_enthusiasm. You can go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. It's not as good as rickandmortypodcast.com.
It's next on my list.
Okay.
It's next on my list, Travis.
we gotta store up those AI credits before we can take care of it. But anybody can support us and our AI credits over at patreon.com/ apathetic enthusiasm. That's enough housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Brandon, you were a little slow. You're a little, not your normal cadence, if you will, on rattling off some of those social media links. How are you feeling? Are you feeling like you had an invasive procedure today?
I don't know. I think I'm okay. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe a little slow. Here's what happened, everybody. I had a colonoscopy. You know, it's the second one in 3 years.
I should get a first one.
Maybe. My dad had colon cancer at one point in time, recovered, and then my mom was like, "Hey, boys, you should go get yourself checked. Get a colonoscopy." So I went, did it the first time. They removed like 3 polyps. And then I did it again today. And so that was 2 polyps gone.
I should probably get it done soon while it's still, covered really well.
Well, I mean, the VA, I went through the VA to get my, my surgery done. Very anal is what they, the acronym.
They're very, very like they're very deliberate and pay attention to detail there.
Yeah. Exactly right. So I had that done. Won't get too into it. I talk about this at work,
but because they sure did.
Yeah, they did. I talk about this at work because I feel. Do I feel strongly? I don't know. I feel a way enough where I'm like, I'm not ashamed of getting a colonoscopy, and I'm not going to.
You shouldn't be. We're breaking the stigma. Mm-hmm. We're coming on here to say it's important to do.
Yeah.
Like colon cancer and I think not prostate cancer,
colorectal.
Yeah,
cancer.
Colorectal cancers. I mean, that's how my dad passed away was due to that. So it's one of those things that, like, you know, a lot of guys listen to this podcast, they're maybe kind of creeped out about that or think that that's weird. Just get it done. Like, yeah. And I say that as a person that hasn't done it. I've had like more upper GI scopes than I can count, because of other health issues. But yeah, I was like talking to somebody today and I was like, yeah, I don't know why I haven't gotten it done. I'm over 40. I have family history, mm-hmm. and I'm going to see those same doctors all the time. I'm actually kind of wondering why they haven't
asked,
like,
you
strong armed me into it and told me like you should really have done this by now. But they don't put, do they put you out? Like, do they fully knock you out for it?
So the 2 times I've done it, the first time they knocked me out, like, I woke up in recovery. I was like, okay, that's good. This time it was, they didn't put you out. They still sedated you. Sure. And then, like, as I'm lying on my side, they've got like a camera and like the TV screen. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I could watch the inside of my butthole. That seems fun.
Yeah.
But
was it weird that the TV had the OBS layout and it said start streaming?
Yeah.
And it was highlighted in blue.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's not on our YouTube already. I connected our accounts.
It takes time. It takes time to pass the copyright checks, yeah, and things like that.
And it was playing Yakety Sax. So they gave me some fentanyl and then some other drug to sedate me. And then they're like, you know, so, you know, if you wake up and, you know, you, like, you know, if it's uncomfortable, then let us know. Or some people don't fall asleep. They just are out. And they're like, well, it just depends on your tolerance. Everyone's different. And I was like, well, you know, I fall asleep when I take some aspirin. So I'll be out. I don't really. That's just, it's a joke. It's a joke, everybody.
Oh, for comedy. Jokes for comedy.
Yeah, I don't fall asleep with aspirin, but I do. I am very sensitive to drugs. Like, they put me out pretty quickly. And so I'm like, okay. Oh, ooh, yeah, this feels good. Okay, now I'm asleep. And I only woke up one time when it was like, do you think he feels it? No. Oh, okay. Good, good, good. Yeah, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah, this is good. And then I fell back asleep. It must have been like something with a camera, like a good shot. It was like a really good shot.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what was happening.
But yeah. Then, like, after that's done, they rolled me out back to recovery, and I took a little
just right out into the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah, and it wasn't. they said it was a VA clinic, but it was downtown LA. It was kind of near crypto.com arena. Felt a little dirty. It looked actually like a parking lot.
Yeah, I woke up in a bathtub full of ice.
Mm-hmm.
I had this weird scar on my side.
Yeah, but the doctor did have like a Vietnam vet ball cap on. So like it makes sense.
Seemed legit.
It makes sense that he was part of the VA. So I did that, and then got home last night. The prep is the worst part, just because it's like you can't eat anything for 24 hours. You have to drink this stuff. You have to like piss out of your butt, like very, very clear. It's got to be clear. It's like it's essentially like Gatorade is what it ends up looking like. And it's just like, I don't know how your sphincter keeps the liquid in your butt, right? I said I wasn't going to go into it, but
it's a fascinating mechanism. But
I have to talk about how the sphincter keeps liquid in the butt, because like at some point in time in this process, there's nothing else. You have nothing in your stomach, nothing in your intestines at all anymore, just liquid. And like you go to the bathroom and like you just like it's like you don't like there's no pushing, there's no nothing. It's just like get there you go, peeing out your butt. Like that's
hold now. It's just a waterfall.
Yeah, it's like Hoover, your sphincter is Hoover Dam, and every once in a while you gotta let the pressure go into the Colorado River.
as they say. That's the thing about doing the uppers all the time is there's no prep for it. I'm not allowed to eat like the night before. I can't eat after midnight. And that's basically because they're putting me under, not because of any other reason.
Not because you're a gremlin.
No, they're not worried about getting me wet. Yeah. And me replicating.
Yeah, well, because you're not supposed to eat after midnight.
Yeah. No.
Like a gremlin.
That's when things really get bad. I get it. I get the reference.
Because in gremlins, you're not supposed to feed them after midnight.
Okay, there's three rules, okay?
For your upper GI tract. Don't get me wet. Anyway, so you don't do any prep. You just don't eat.
There's no prep. But they always have to put me out, right? Because, and I've done it so many times now that it's like, I know the process. I have to roll onto a certain side. They like prop like my body in a certain angle, and then there's like this really weird mouth gear that I have to like bite down on, and it's like it has a hole in the middle of it. So that it basically keeps my teeth out of the way. And as that's happening, I'm like, I know that in a pretty much I just like, I'm like pried open. Right. And then I know that in a few minutes, I'm not going to be conscious, but there is going to be a lubricated camera just shoving down my throat. Mm-hmm. And it's when I think about it, when I'm awake, I'm like, ugh, ugh. But thankfully I'm not awake. I don't. And then I just like, I wake up in a room and I'm like, I guess we're done. And like the first time it was pretty jarring. And now I'm like, oh, I guess my very expensive nap is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. If we're ever living in the same city and,
oh yeah,
you know, we go to the same VA clinic, I want to make sure that my procedure's first, and then you do your procedure, because I don't want them reusing that camera, you know.
I don't know how she'll feel about me sharing this, but there was a point where Sheena, my wife, had to have an upper and a lower done in the same day, and we're like having the like the pre like setup stuff where they're doing vitals and everything. Like, okay, so we're doing an upper and lower today. And it's like, do you just use one camera and just kind of go all the way through? And I said it as a joke to, you know, kind of make Sheena laugh. But I think the nurse was kind of like, no, it's too. I was like, yeah, and I, okay, I'm.
Yeah, I.
Sorry, not a jokey place. I get it. All right.
Fine. Yeah. I asked him before I went to sleep. I'm like, can you just check my throat too while you're down in there? They said no.
No, because we didn't bring the special mouthpiece.
The one that's you remember that game that like that family game where like they put the mouthpiece and you have to say things? Yeah.
I totally have that game.
I had chicken. I ate chicken hot high.
Chicken hot high. I don't know. Chicken hot high. I can't think of that.
What would that be? So as far as meals go, speaking of food, can't eat anything, right? You can eat broth. You could eat Jell-O. Very, very.
This is during the prep.
Yeah.
This is the.
Okay. Yeah. So 24 hours. Those are the types of things you can eat. Nothing red or purple because that'll stain your colon. And then it'll make it difficult. Plus it looks red. So like, is it bleeding? I don't know. So last night, Chelsea made Dexter a Red Baron pizza, and it was a Red Baron Supreme pizza. And I'm like, I'm so hungry. And then they didn't finish the pizza. Okay. There was like one slice yet left, and it was sitting on the stovetop, and I walked past it so many times and I'm like, I just want to rip one of those pepperonis off. Just like put it in my mouth, suck out all the fat and the juices and then spit it back. Like I just, this is just fucking looking at me the entire time. So, my parents, after the procedures, they drove me home. Like, what do you want to eat? And I said, I want a Red Baron pizza. They're like, what? That's what you want to eat? I'm like, yeah, take me to Vaughn's. I'm going to get a Red Baron pizza. And my dad's like, you should get, what kind of you get? I'm like, Supreme. He's like, oh, that's so good. You know what pepperonis I like? I like the pepperonis that are like the cups that when they heat up. Oh, like,
cup pepperoni. So good.
So good. So got my Red Baron Supreme pizza. And he's like, here you go, Brandon. And he went to the aisle. He knew exactly where to get him. A little packet of those cup pepperonis. Woo! Threw some of the extra one of those bitches on that thing. I didn't finish it. I didn't eat the whole Red Baron pizza, but I may as well have. And then I went into a coma. Then I went into a a non-medicated coma.
A pizza-induced coma. Yeah. Yeah. We always have, I believe they are Red Baron brand. They're colloquially just called circle pizzas in my house, but they're the frozen, like small single serve personal pizzas.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, those are popular in my house. Red, available at Sam's Club, not a sponsor.
Red Baron pizza is pretty good.
Ooh, the calories though, my God.
Oh, I know.
They are packed.
I made up for all of the calories I burned yesterday in one Red Baron pizza.
Yeah, you made up for lost time for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you know you're out there, you're taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, everything comes back clear and good. The next time they have to shove a camera down my throat, I'll ask them to use the extra long one.
Mm-hmm.
To go all the way through and make sure everything's checked out.
Like, hey, just go all the way and then hang me up like a necklace.
And stream it on your Twitch. Do they give you pictures?
Yeah. Do you want me to show you?
Well, we're gonna need an episode image, so I don't know.
No. It's like smiling friends. When they go look for the brown blur, then Mr. Boss like, brown blur? What are you talking about? You know that picture you have of the wall is says encrypted. Like, oh no, that That was from my colonoscopy. I thought you knew that.
Oh, Mr. Maybe, Boss.
Maybe that's the image we use, is just the brown blur picture from Smiling Friends.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look it up. I always get the pictures back when I do my endoscopies, and there's like the like medical drawing of like the profile of a person. You can see like their esophagus and the stomach, and then it's got just like little flags coming off with the pictures of like, here's where this picture was taken. It looks like it's like a bad anatomy park map or something.
Yeah. They have a similar kind of like diagram outline for the colonoscopy,
but it's just your butt.
Yeah. Well, no, it's still like the profile picture. And it just shows like this guy's hand all the way up, like rubbing my belly from the inside. I don't know why they hired the artist for to show that.
Are you a man or a Muppet, Brandon?
I'm still in the hospital right now. the doctor, very kind man. Hey, ain't that right, doctor? Yes. Oh, wait, no, that's like a reverse ventriloquist thing.
Well, all right. Okay. That's a very, very recent, situation. Anything else going on that's fun or exciting?
Saturday, I was going on this adventure of sanding it down, this crappy guitar I bought, and then repainting it and stuff like that. And so then Saturday, I'm like, okay, I thought about doing more stuff to it, and I'm like, well, let's just put it back together. Let's see what it sounds like. See if I know what I'm doing with that. And so put all the pieces back to it. And then I was trying to solder the volume and tone knobs to the pickups. And then I tested it out. It works, but I think I've got some of the things backwards or not soldered correctly. So I'm going to go do that again. But got it together, strings on, tested it out, plays well. And then I finished it up with an Apathetic Enthusiasm logo. So I should
look at you.
I should have done that.
He's going to get it. I will say he sent me a picture of this guitar. Look, okay. Bring it a little bit further to the middle of the frame, because it's no. Yeah, there you go. Wow. Apathusiast. Oh, plays like a dream.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Where'd you get that sticker? Did you make the sticker?
Yeah, I made that sticker.
He makes guitars and stickers.
He's
a triple threat.
You made that logo.
I did. And I can't tell you how great it is to see my artwork on your guitars.
But it is your the logo that you made, and then the some printer paper, and then it's like, you know, you print onto it, and then you spray it with some acrylic paint, and then that seals the ink onto the paper, and then just dip it in water for like 60 seconds, and then put it on the guitar, and then slide the back paper off, and then it just leaves that vinyl covering.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably sand it all again and start over. But
is that the same one that you put the other images on? Okay. So you're not making multiple guitars. You're just redoing the same guitar over and over.
Yeah. Well, that's how it started, right? It was because I only had the one that I was fucking around with. But I did buy a Fender Squire Strat off of Marketplace, right?
So Fender Squire.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that. That's up on my wall.
The one that has the Monster Vision action figure stuck to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guitar's broken. That's my uncle's guitar that he tried to fix up. And then he never did. But he's dead. So we just keep it. We keep this guitar in the family. I'll, you know, one of these days, once I start figuring out what the hell's going on with my, like, once I, like, I'm confident enough, I might start working on that and making it actually
that'd be playable. Awesome. Yeah, the Squire Stratocaster, mm-hmm. that's a classic guitar right there.
Yeah.
And widely recognized as a budget-friendly alternative to the high-end Fender models as well.
So I bought this one, and it's like kind of like a seafoam green, and it looks really nice as it is, and it just really, really hurts. I started taking it apart yesterday, and so all the electronics are out, took the neck off. It's bare, and that color is it's so gorgeous. I'm like, but you bought this to fuck it up, right? You bought it to work on it. You did not buy it to keep it and play it like this. It's okay, Brandon. Start stripping it. I did not start stripping it yet, but that's the next thing I'm going to work on is that Strat.
But you're emotionally almost there to where you could almost emotionally process doing that.
Yeah. Well, I bought how I stripped this is a Les Paul. It's a Gibson Les Paul, the Apathetic Enthusiasm guitar. And that it had a similar like nice finish to it. I sanded it. I just sanded all that down. And then I probably did not sand it down evenly. I made some mistakes, obviously, my first attempt. So this for the Strat, what I'm doing, seen this on YouTube, and people talk about it as a viable alternative. I bought a heat gun. So you heat up the polyurethane. And then that makes the paint loose, pliable, and so then I can scrape it off. And so then I just like scrape, 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 and then sand it down to make sure it's all flat. Since basically it should be fairly even already. Just removing that top coat. So I'm gonna probably do that this weekend. And I ordered some paint already. Some new paint. So I'm going to give this one I'm going to be more diligent about it this time. Plus I have a paint booth that I made, you know, it's just like, you know, it's fun.
It's all coming together. It's mm-hmm. all coming together. I'm excited.
I got to figure it out before, I take a bunch of guitars to San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is it weird to think that we're going to be hanging out in like 2 weeks? Less than 2 weeks now?
Weird? No, it's not weird. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a busy weekend, as you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it is.
But I don't know if I told... So everyone who knows, I'm going to go to Oklahoma City with Dexter and Chelsea. You got your oldest kid's graduation from high school.
Finally. Jeez.
And
it's taken like 18 years.
So we're all going to go out there and be part of your family's celebration. I don't know if you know this, Travis, but I don't know if you remember this because I barely remember this. And sorry, Mackenzie. I forgot my niece lives in Oklahoma City. Here's the thing.
Avid listener to the podcast, Mackenzie.
Not just that my niece is out there in Oklahoma City, but my niece is about to have a baby, and she gets induced on like
the same weekend.
She gets induced like tomorrow, I think.
Oh, snap. Okay. So
on top of your daughter's graduation, we have to go see my grandniece.
Okay. Oh, it's serendipitous. It's perfect timing.
Did you know, Travis? Because this is how family trees work. That means I'm going to be a great uncle as of like this week.
Listen, I don't care what the family tree says. How good or great you are as an uncle is still up for debate. Mm-hmm. We'll let time be the judge.
One. I did. I talked to Chelsea about it because she's the one who reminded me, yeah, Mackenzie's about to have a baby and she's in Oklahoma City. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, crap. I was like, We have to go see our baby if we can. Like, I've always said this about myself. I've always felt like a bad uncle. Like, all my aunts and uncles, they were always like, we're all so close. And then me being in the Air Force, I was always away from all of my niece and nephews. And so I always felt like a bad uncle. So if I went to Oklahoma City when my niece has a baby and I don't see her or make an attempt to see her, then I am a shitty uncle.
Yeah. Yeah. Far from great.
Far from yeah. great. So, yeah.
Is it weird that like our peers, are becoming grandparents? Is that weird to you? Or are you, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, on the surface, it's weird because I'm not that close with anybody who has a grandkid yet.
Yeah.
I know they're there. Like, McGovern's kid is going to have a kid probably in the next
eventually
couple years,
potentially.
Right?
If that's their, I mean, that is their choice, but you know.
Yeah. Cause
we're not forcing them. This isn't.
Is she married? She
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she is.
Right. Yeah. Like, so that'll be a little weird.
Like if you go back to the table, the Catan table where we used to play on a weekly basis, playing Settlers of Catan, like, so many people that hung out there are either like parents of like adults now or still single. Like that's like the two ends of the spectrum pretty much.
Yeah. And John is going to move his, he's doing some D&D stuff on Wednesdays. I think he's going
to. We're still waiting for John to take his turn, actually, at Catan. We never actually stopped playing. We're just waiting for him to take his next turn.
Yeah, and I take my hand of resources everywhere I go because I'm next. Like, I'm next in the and I'm just like.
He's just stalling because he knows you're going to win next turn. You're going to take longest road and have enough victory points.
Yeah, come on, man. Just finish it up so we can start a new game.
I'm still thinking.
Hey, put that pillow down. Why you keep taking my pillows, John?
I miss you, John.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have been doing not a lot.
Mm.
And that's because since our last recording, we brought a puppy home.
Oh.
And yeah, little Covey, the teddy bear doodle that is just so cute and is just such a puppy. he's growing like crazy. He has moments where he's so sweet, and then just like a whole bunch of moments where he wants to bite your hand off.
Just like a human baby.
When they would try to bite your hand off and pee on your rug.
But human babies, like, they do. Like, they're like, oh, I want, but they just gum you, right?
They're, yeah, because, like, they don't have razor sharp teeth.
Yeah.
For some reason, baby dogs have pokey teeth.
They start with pokey teeth. And then, like, yeah, just over time, they turn into nubs.
Wither away to nothing. He's a sweet dog. It's just the stress of, like, because it is almost like a newborn baby where, like, you have to keep an eye on it all the time. You have to make sure you're taking it out all the time so that it gets used to going outside and try to cut down or eliminate any kind of accidents in the house. You know, Allie's been, something's going on with her leg. So it's harder for her to, like, get around right now. So she's, you know, in her last couple of weeks of high school, trying to do all that. So Sheena and I have been taking on the lion's share of the puppy raising.
You mixed mixed animal metaphors there. You know,
I did.
Should be lion's share because lions are cats. The
wolf's share. That's not a real saying though.
No, but it's should the wolf's be
share. Should or should it? I don't know. Weigh in the comments.
as you guys do all the time. Shout out to R10 and X.
But like I have been very like firm with the dog and like trying to correct it. And
what did you say? The fuck did you just say about
I don't let it bite me, right? You know, and I kind of get in this stance over it, like I'm like not gonna let it challenge me or
stern.
Anything.
You're
said firm. I said firm with the dog. Stern. I said firm. But yeah, I guess stern. And so now the puppy doesn't really bite me as much occasionally. He makes, but he's biting the other people in the house far more often. And they're like, why doesn't he bite you anymore? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause I don't put up with this BS.
One of the tricks I learned is cause they're playing, right? You know, like,
hold them underwater for like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah. We're being playful. Because puppies are playing and like they're learning how to play too, right? Like biting is part of them learning how to play. And just like if you bit the dog too hard, it would yelp. Like if the dog bites too hard or chews or gets in a spot, be exaggerate and be like, ow. And then
I do that as well. And mm-hmm. I'll like yell like, ow. And they're like, my youngest or Sheena will be like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm fine. I just, that was performative for the dog.
But like that helped, with one of our dogs before, like, cause I like playing like, holding their mouth and like they say, doing that ow, like helps them know like, okay, no, that's too hard. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It was good training.
And again, I remember as a puppy, like we are still training it. We are still, it's still learning. Like,
I know you're trying to tell your story and I keep interrupting, but it sounded like you said, I know as a puppy, I remember as a puppy,
I identify as a puppy. So like, I understand the plight of the dog. No. But yeah, obviously I'm still playing Lorcana. Lorcana minute. Burr, 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 burr. It is set champ season. So we abandoned the family and the dog to go, play Lorcana. Thank you everybody. We are closing a chapter on Winterspell as a new set. Wilds Unknown is set to debut in just a couple of weeks. And I played in five set champs. I got top eight in all five.
Wow.
Like three top fours and made it to the finals one time and lost in the finals.
Rough.
Playing some fun. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, soundboard.
That's our new Lorcana minute sound.
But I am Lorcana, very excited.
Say Lorcana minute.
It's time for the Lorcana minute, everybody. And so the new set comes out. When you're here, I'm going to buy so many cards. And I feel weird about it because like I got to get a hold of these. I think they're going to be really popular because it's the introduction of Pixar. So Toy Story, Incredibles, all these new franchises coming to the game.
Yeah, I'll probably buy a couple packs too. I'll probably buy two boxes actually.
My son, Caleb, he's like really trying to convince me that we should buy the starter decks, even though we have no use for the starter decks in the new set whatsoever. And he's like, and then I get a text from him in the middle of the day the other day that's just like, we could buy, because this set, it's not individual starter decks. It's a two deck pack that's supposed to be for people to start to learn how to play. He's like, we could get them for Brandon and Dexter. I was like, oh, way to think through it there, but that's so I don't know. You may end up with some pre-built decks, depending on. I don't know why he would want to do that and then give them away. I don't know. But
he wants to play.
He wants you guys to learn.
I talked to, unlike you, who's never tried to teach me. Dexter, I was like, we'll probably want to play Lorcana. Travis and Caleb probably want to play Lorcana, and then they'll kick our ass, and then we'll play. And so he's like, oh, cool, that sounds fun.
I mean, it is like Magic the Gathering. There is a format to play with more than just two people. Like, you play a four player game if you wanted to. We also have the sort of board game version where you can play collaboratively against the game. Mm. So that's another good way to introduce people to the mechanics of the game. It's not. It's actually very challenging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's hard. So
do you play with your own option. Do you play with your own decks, or
those games come with pre-built decks, but then also you can build your own decks. And if you wanted to, you could build decks that are specifically designed to beat the game, which would probably make it a lot easier, if I'm being honest.
Okay. All right.
But so card games, right? And we don't have to talk about this for too long, but I was talking about cards at work, and somebody's like, hey, have you ever heard of Slay the Spire? I was like, yes, of course I have. Brandon talked about it a ton like a year ago on our podcast.
Such a good game.
Yeah, I finally got it, and I got it on my phone. It's the Slay the Spire minute. But I totally see the appeal, and I get why you thought it was good.
Yeah. I almost bought Slay the Spire 2 on Steam last night, at like 3 a.m. when I was shitting more. I thought about it. I decided not to. It's in beta, I think, right now, or early access. And so they're still working on like tuning it and all that type of stuff. So I'm like, oh, I'll hold off on playing.
Give it some time. All right. We are coming up. We're at 45 minutes. We're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. It's been 45 minutes already. Holy shit.
42.
I talk too much. I'm sorry, guys.
We spent some time, you know, talking about the importance of early detection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I don't think we talked about this on the podcast. You went to a sporting event. A postseason sporting event.
That's right.
In Los Angeles. And it wasn't the Dodgers.
Yeah. As you're wearing a Thunder shirt.
Brandon. This is all connected.
I think what you really want to talk about, Travis, is how I started up a my NBA in NBA 2K26 with Sizemore. Did not invite you. And
no, it's fine. I understand that you don't like me anymore. Yeah,
I don't know if you have,
even though I bought a console just to, you know, feel like part of the group.
Yeah. Do you have NBA 2K26? It's on Game Pass. That's the only reason I have it.
Let me check my PlayStation app.
Because there is crossplay compatibility. The only problem is you can't be the Thunder. You can't be the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because in NBA games...
Because you're the Los Angeles Thunder.
In NBA games, I tend to... Because Sizemore is a Lakers fan, so I let him have the Lakers. I go with the Thunder, because if I had to choose a secondary team, that's who they would be. Because, you know, I was in Oklahoma City, so I have an affinity towards the team in that way. But in the game, as a commissioner, I did move the team to Los Angeles. So now we're the Los Angeles, Oklahoma City Thunder. Anyway, that's that whole story.
That's good. That's good. What I did want to talk about is the fact that you went to a Lakers game.
Oh, we did. Yeah,
The Lakers won. You're a long time big fan of the Lakers. You're such a Lakers stan, and they look poised to win their playoff series right now. They have a 3-1 lead over the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time before they close out. The Thunder start playing in like 10 minutes for game 4 of their series, where they have a 3-0 lead over the Phoenix Suns. The winner of these two series will play each other.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are, based on how the series is going, the Lakers will play the Thunder. Probably while you're here.
Oh yeah. Hey, you want to go to a Thunder game? Is that what you're saying?
I think we're going to be busy. They'll actually probably be back in LA by the time you come here to Oklahoma. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any care about that whatsoever? Or are you just like cognizant that it's happening? No real. Because now, as the owner of the Los Angeles Thunder, you've got to be torn.
Yeah, no, Los Angeles Thunder of Oklahoma City. I think we have to. It's like you know, like the Angels, right? Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles, whatever. It's stupid.
Well, whatever
it's,
it is.
Yeah. So they needed a fourth person to go to the Lakers game so they could get one of those box seats. And so they couldn't find a fourth person. And so they like texted me, "Hey, Brandon, you want to go to the Lakers game?"
They were walking by your house like, "Hey, kid, you want to go to a Lakers game? How much money you got?"
Yeah, it might as well have been. The coworkers, "Hey, do you want to be our fourth?" I'm like, Chelsea was asleep on the couch as they're texting me. I'm like, count me in. And then Chelsea woke up. I'm like, I got invited to the Lakers game on Saturday. She's like, oh, okay. Cool. Everyone in this family knows I'm not a basketball fan.
Had you been to a Lakers game out there before?
No, never. The only basketball game I'd ever been to was in Oklahoma City with Bob's season tickets. So,
yeah.
And that was
Athletic Enthusiasm brought to you by Bob Carroll.
that's right. And that's when the Thunder sucked, was when I saw them play.
Yeah, that's the best time.
No longer.
Not all these championship runs and playoff seasons and all that. That's just not fun.
Yeah, no longer the case. Yeah. But I don't watch basketball games on TV unless it's in the playoffs and it's the Lakers. And so like the last time I really watched basketball was in like 2011, whenever they went back to back championships. There it was. Cool. I experienced it. So this is the first time I was actually at a crypto.com game with the Lakers. So it was fun. It was fun. I drank. So yeah, drinking makes everything fun. The thing about basketball that kills me.
The opinions expressed by Brandon Cruz do not necessarily represent the opinions of Apathetic Enthusiasm LLC.
Did I tell you the part that about basketball that kills me already?
No, I feel like we talked about this. Did you? I feel like we talked about this, but I don't think we talked about it on the podcast.
No, because last time we were on, we did the Rick and Morty. So I think we did it like after the fact.
But what
kills me is like the games. Yeah, we did talk about this. I remember, but not on the podcast, where the game starts and LeBron puts up 2 and the fans are like, "Yeah, woo! Yeah, let's go." It's 2 seconds into the game, 2 points. Why are we clapping right now? Why? There's nothing exciting going on.
Because he scored.
It's
the arguably greatest player of all time just scored a jump shot.
The game's not even close to being over. And then it's like, you know, like 10 seconds later, another 2 points. Yeah. All right. Woo. Oh, we got this. The score is 4-4. You know, it's like, come on. I don't understand the excitement that early on in the game for those points. Right. And what we talked about last week was like, I understand like towards the end of the game where it's like when the tension's kicking in and it's getting really close. So like game two, of the Rockets, it was game three where it's like, they're down by six with like 24 seconds left. And there's a narrative going on. There's drama, there's tension. They're like, so I went back down to LA, because there's a club there, not a club, but like a venue for bands I went to see Face to Face.
Yeah.
And
on our very similar Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. Face to Face, Unwritten Law, Homegrown. It was down there right next to crypto.com. And so we're walking to the venue to go see the show, and the game is on, and there's 24 seconds left, 6 points down, and we're walking past all these TVs where they're playing the game. Justin, my friend, has it on his phone too, streaming it. I was like, okay, the game's almost over. Let's just sit here and watch it. And so like, don't go in yet, watching it. I'm like, he's like, you want to watch this? I'm like, yeah, I mean, the game's almost over. It's close. And then they score. And then he's like, all right, no, let's do this. I'm like, yeah, don't do this to yourself, man. Don't do this to yourself. And you hear cheers throughout crypto.com. And you're like, okay, no, let's finish watching the game. Right. And then it goes to overtime. And then we win. Like, that is, to me, that's an exciting, like, that's when like every point counts. Every point doesn't count that early on in the game. So much so that you have to be like, this is the best game of my fucking life. Because they can like Steph Curry could do like 23 pointers in a row and then still lose the game later on, right?
I mean, I guess, but like do you just want it to be like a golf match the first two quarters of it? You just hear the squeaks of the sneakers going up and down the court, and then swoosh. And two more points for LeBron James. LeBron James. A hush falls over the crowd as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander steps up for his fourth free throw of the evening.
That would be good, actually. It would be very relaxing. there are plays, obviously, that... like that was a good play. That was really cool to see. Those things I get, right? But when it's like oh, I'm backing up. It's in the basket. Yeah. Like there's nothing inherently exciting about
it. I live for it, Brandon. The excitement. I love it. Thunder up currently.
Lake Show.
Oh. I was going to say the Thunder were down 4-5, but they just scored again. So it's 6-5. It's anybody's game.
Oh, you're so excited.
With 3 minutes expired in the first quarter. I'll catch the second half when we're done with it.
Then when it comes down to it, Travis, the reason that you really wanted to bring this up is because Lakers, Thunder, they seems likely that they will play each other. And your thought is the Thunder's bench is so stacked, like the backups to their backups are amazing, that you're going to sweep the Lakers. Is that your thought? Do you really believe that they're going to sweep the Lakers?
I don't think they'll sweep the Lakers. I think gentlemen sweep is possible. I think they could lose one game in Los Angeles.
What the fuck is a gentleman's sweep? Explain that to me. You use your fancy basketball terms on me.
The term gentleman's sweep is when you let the other team win one, particularly in front of their home crowd. So the way that the NBA playoffs work is each series is a 7-game series. First team to win 4 games moves on to the next round. And the higher seeded team starts at home. The first 2 games are played at the higher seeds arena, and then the next 2 games are played at the lower seed. So in a gentleman's sweep, the better team wins 3 out of the first 4, but they win like the first 2 at home. Then they travel to the other team's arena, win one of those games, and then lose one of those games so that hometown, you know, crypto.com fan club, the Fairweather Lakers fans get to see a victory at home. And then they go back to Oklahoma and then finish winning the series in front of their home fans.
Yeah. So, yeah. You're right. Sweet. You're right. Okay. Okay. I understand now. While you were talking about that, I laughed a little bit, not audibly, but eagle-eyed viewers on the video might have seen me smirk. And here's why I smirked, because when I went to see that face-to-face show and we were right there at the end, right before it was going to overtime, LeBron shoots that 3, tying it up. I thought to myself, man, yeah, the question I asked, I didn't think to myself, I asked this question out loud. Wait, are they in Houston right now? Now, I'm in the same area as crypto.com. I can see the Kobe statue from where we're watching the game on the phone upstairs. And I asked that question. I was like, fucking don't answer that. That's stupid. Why would I ask that? I'm fucking, it's right. Obviously it's not in Houston. This place is fucking dead. There's nobody here other than us going to see face-to-face. Anyways. Gentlemen's sweep. Sure.
Gentlemen's sweep. I will say, I am excited. I'm hoping that the team will do this again in later rounds in the playoffs. Should the Thunder be so fortunate to make it into some later rounds, they would actually open up the arena and show the road games on the Jumbotron in the arena. Have the DJ, have all concessions, everything going. It's great for them, right? Because you could still make money off the concessions and all that stuff. But it's a cool fan environment to be able to go and watch a game with a bunch of other fans as well. And it really does kind of feel like watching the game live, except when you look down at the court and there's just security there making sure nobody nobody runs out of the court.
The janitor sweeping.
He's just sweeping. Yep.
Does Bob still have season tickets to the Thunder game?
Sure does.
Yeah, man. That was
30B.
That was a smart investment on his part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder how much money he makes from selling season tickets.
Hit us in the comments, Bob. Let us know how much money you make in your Thunder credits. And are you coming back for the finals?
Yeah, how does that work, season tickets for NBA for playoffs?
So if you have season tickets, you have the option to buy in for the playoffs. You have to purchase your seats
at the beginning of the year.
For each round of the playoffs.
Oh,
And the cost of your seats goes up each subsequent round as well. So, the cost of your seats for the first round of the playoffs is very different than the cost of your seats in the finals, Western Conference Finals, you know, whatever the conference finals, those things. Yeah. So it just goes up incrementally. Our mutual friend, Ryan, your coworker, perhaps, he has a half season tickets. So he doesn't have the full season. He shares his seats with somebody else. So he still has the option to buy into the playoffs, but he doesn't necessarily get the exact same seats that he would sit in throughout the year. Whereas Bob, we know exactly which seats we're going to when we go to Bob's.
Yeah, Bob's seats. That's cool. So Thunder are the higher seeded team.
Yep, they are the
number one
team in the NBA.
Yeah. And that means they're at the bottom of the seed, right?
They're guaranteed home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
They're like the bottom of the seed. So it's like it's like DEFCON 1 through 4, right? Like the higher you go, the more powerful you are. Is that how that works? I don't know.
Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for watching, listening. It's not.
Yeah, you know, that's cool. That's cool. So when they play the Lakers, which they're going to play the Lakers, they will start in Oklahoma City for two games, and then they'll go back to LA for two games, then back to OKC,
then OKC for one game.
Oh, okay.
LA for one game. If a seventh game is necessary, that will take place in Oklahoma City.
Okay. All right. All right. Are you gonna go to one of those games? Are you gonna try to go to one of those games?
Yes. Yeah. I've talked about it numerous times about how Thunder obsessed Sheena has become after last season's run and throughout the playoffs. And she's probably watched more Thunder games than I have, truth be told. She really doesn't miss a game. And she made it very clear she wants to go to a playoff game this year. So making sure that happens and get her out to a game or two. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what,
if I'm back in time for one of the LA games, maybe I'll go see Thunder versus Lakers.
I can give you a Thunder jersey. I can give you a Thunder jersey that you can wear.
I've got an Alonzo Ball jersey that I can wear.
I can give you an OKC Kevin Durant jersey or a Russell Westbrook jersey.
Yeah.
The short-lived Paul Pierce jersey from the two seasons where he was on the Thunder.
Do you guys still care about Westbrook and Durant, like as far as Thunder fans go?
Westbrook is loved by the Thunder fan base because he stuck around for a while after Durant left and really became the face of the team. He is still very active and involved in the Oklahoma City community.
Okay.
They are, it was recently announced that the multipurpose stadium that's being built in downtown Oklahoma City that was going to be for used for like a major league soccer team, like MLS team. We're also getting XFL in Oklahoma City. So that extreme football league or whatever. I don't know if that's what they're still called, but it's like the minor league, like indoor football or whatever.
Yeah. It's like the bananas.
That's the Savannah Bananas. Yeah. But we're getting a team there anyway. Russell Westbrook is responsible for like the style of that arena, I guess, and stuff like that. So he's still involved with a lot of charities and things.
So you guys like Westbrook.
Okay. He gets a big round of applause every time he's here with any other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I am confident that he will be the second jersey retired in Oklahoma City whenever he does retire from the NBA. People still can't stand KD. It's softened a little bit, but for the most part, people still don't like him.
Mm. Because I thought for a long time they loved him, right?
When he played here, yeah.
Did he backstab Oklahoma City? Is that why people don't like him?
They developed the nickname Snake for KD. Cupcake was also used quite a bit. And it's about the timing of his departure and the team that he chose to leave the Thunder for.
Explain.
The Thunder at their height, in like 2012. So it would have been 2011 when the Thunder made their first real playoff run. They were eliminated the next season in 2012. They made it to the finals. So this was the first time the Thunder had made it to the finals, and they were playing the very stacked Miami Heat team with the big three. This is when LeBron James had left the Cleveland Cavaliers and gone to the Heat to try and go win a championship out there, right? So this was the second year in a row that the Heat had made it to the finals. They had lost the year before. So Thunder, they go, they play in the finals, and they don't make it, or they don't win. It's sad, but they're still a great team. I think the next year, they don't make it to the finals. They are eliminated, I believe, in the Western Conference Finals by the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors, terrific team.
Steph Curry.
I think Steph Curry. Yeah, they go on to, I think, win the championship that year.
Yeah, favorite player. My favorite player, Steph Curry.
Durant leaves the team and goes to play with the Golden State Warriors, the team that eliminated the Thunder from the playoffs and went on to win the championship. That's the team that he decided to go and play with. And it felt very much to the fans in the area. Yeah. Ring chasing a little bit. And like, so much of the time that Durant, when he was with the Thunder, very much had this, persona of being the nice guy and being friendly and like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like there used to be like Nike commercials about KD being nice and all this stuff.
That's the image I remember of him.
Yeah, he came out with a movie called Thunderstruck where he and a kid, like, I don't know, it was not a popular movie, but he made one. Anyway, it felt very much like KD while he was here was very much like ingrained in the community. And when he left, it just hurt a lot of people's feelings. They felt betrayed. And the Thunder had only been in Oklahoma 6 years or something like that. Yeah. The team was still relatively new and the fan base was not as used to big players coming and going in that sort of way. So, I think attitudes have softened, like, and, I would like to see like the fan base kind of embrace Durant and what he did for the team and for the community, in the initial, years that the team was here. But we like SGA a lot more now.
SGA. Serge Ibaka?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the reigning NBA MVP and Kia Clutch Player of the Year, currently the
never heard of
star
him.
Player for the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, that's our show, everybody.
Never heard of him. There's players I've never heard of and I will never hear of. SGA, like that's cool. All of us said we're well over time now. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder for making it as far as they did before facing off against the Lakers, who they will certainly beat.
Do you want to bet? Are we doing a friendly bet?
Okay. Well, we can do a friendly bet because I don't honestly believe that the Lakers will win. But we'll do a friendly bet. What do you want to do? What's our friendly bet?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like whatever we do, I'll win. So I don't.
Okay.
I don't
All know right.
That
well,
fair that I come up with it.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I mean, a simple friendly bet.
Let's let people decide.
If the Thunder win, then you pay for the Comic-Con hotels. If the Lakers win, I'll pay for the Comic-Con hotel.
I don't. Who's paying for my flights then?
Okay. Here's the thing. So if the Thunder win, you pay for your flight. If the Lakers win, I'll pay for my the hotel at the Comic-Con. I think that's fair.
All right, we'll workshop it. We'll workshop it, everybody. if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, I don't know if we'll have another Apathetic Enthusiasm before that happens. We're going to be there. We welcome back for press. So if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to say hi. Slap a high five. Maybe we'll have some stickers or Brandon will hand out guitars or something. Okay. That's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for continuing to listen this far into it. We are going to probably be on hiatus for a little while through another season of Rick and Morty. Stay subscribed, keep your notifications on, all those things so that you can catch up with us whenever we come back. Mm-hmm. Until then, my name is Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.